Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barber, and with me is Nicola Bird. And today we're talking about a major overriding theme when it comes to changing your... Well, I mean, I guess it's a life thing, but it's specifically for us, when we talk about getting in shape and changing your body, is the self-critic. This is one of a major theme that you've taught me about. And it's the idea that no matter what kind of progress you make, no matter what condition you're in, like, you can follow our metrics and hit them bang on and still not be happy. It's the self-critic. It's that never being, like, you're never good enough for yourself, that concept. So this is a kind of a follow-up to the last podcast we did about people who've lost a lot of weight or made a big change, then go back just a few pounds and then can't appreciate the change they made. All they see is the little bit that they gained back, or the little stumble, and all they do is key on everything that's wrong and never notice all the good things they did.
That vicious self-critic, which is present in every human being.
It's almost like no one can be as mean to us as we can, to ourselves.
Yeah. I you know, the antidote to that, and I'm jumping the gun and I'm getting right back to the critic, is learning to be your own best friend. That whole umbrella of thinking, like, how can I be my best friend? That's really how you overcome the critic. That critic is a nasty beast inside of us. It can be present in, we could have learned it from other people.
Yeah, I was just about to say, where does it even come from? Or is it kind of manifest all different ways?
It manifests all different ways. It's because, you know, we're social creatures. So that's one. We're also self-reflective creatures. So it's the manner in which you're self-reflecting. So if you learn to self-reflect in a way that's critical, and many people have in their home environments heard criticism, or at school, or a different where they've been put down. And so you learn to think of yourself in these negative ways.
Right.
You can be trying to achieve, you know, super achieving to compensate for inadequacies. And then you set off on this path, you achieve goals, you get to the fitness level you want, but it's still never enough. You can be, or you lost 20 pounds and, you know, you're feeling great, but it's in that moment, but then nothing is ever enough. You're still measuring yourself against some barometer, some unrealistic expectation or standard, because your mind hasn't changed. So you've made these physical changes, but if the mind is stuck in that critical place, then you will not see it, and it just will just end up being a vicious battle inside yourself that becomes unrewarding, which is actually what I think can lead people to regain weight, because you don't feel enough of a reward because you don't see it or feel it. Like, you think you get there and you're going to feel good, but you're beating up on yourself, so you don't actually feel good inside, despite the fact that you've had these great and amazing changes and achieved these amazing goals.
Yeah, like, how awful would that be, is you get all the way to your physical goal and you still can't appreciate, like, that would be,
still
such,
not good enough.
That'd be so bad. It would be so bad to get there and be like, oh my God, I still feel lousy and I still don't like it.
Yeah, and I'm still not, this is not enough and not perfect enough. Or yesterday I looked better in this and today I'm a little this. Like, you know, you start nitpicking. Yeah. So the point is that nothing is ever enough, but you're setting off on the journey for the reason that when I get there, I'm going to feel good. That's your motivation.
And that's the wrong way to, that's the wrong thing.
It's not going to work if you don't feel that way about yourself. So yeah, you're going to seem, quote unquote, you know, get to where you think you want to be, only to find that it's not providing the reward, which again can trip you up.
Because the self-critic needs to be addressed, otherwise it's just always there.
Addressed, yes, because nothing is ever enough. And that's why people can then regain weight and have problems sustaining, even though they now have great skills and great tools and have a fabulous program that they're in love with and it's working for them. Mm. And the support of the Venus group, all of that's there. But if inside of you, you're your own enemy, and if inside your head there is just this self-beating element, then yeah, you're going to always be looking for that validation, that need to be perfect, the need to have this standard to feel good, which is impossible. And then you just keep going and going along that route. So that every human being needs to be mindful of their critic. And because, like I said, we self-reflect. And so if we reflect upon ourselves, where we're measuring ourselves, we're always seeing our flaws, what we didn't do right. And then that justifies or reinforces in our mind, we're not good enough, or you can't do it. And you're questioning yourself, you're self-doubting, that kind of stuff. It's very, very undermining.
But it's not like you're the only one. Like in your experience, and just your perspective, and from what I'm gathering from all the people I've worked with, this is more or less human nature. Like it's rare for someone to have like a self-critic that's volumes turned down to like one or zero, and they're just fully accepting of themselves. Like it seems to be the norm to have that critic there.
Right, but we don't, the point is we really don't want it to be the norm.
No, I understand that, but because otherwise I'd be sitting here going, this doesn't make any sense. Why do we all have this built-in critic? But it just sort of happens that way. Well, like you said, it manifests from a bunch of different reasons.
First, we're self-reflective, like I said, and we have environmental influences.
Yeah.
Combine those two things, and you're not really aware of the way that you're critical because it's so normalized. It's just part of how you think, part of how you function, people judging, that kind of. So you don't, and since you're using your critical mind to reflect on yourself, nothing is reflecting back on the critical mind to go, guess what? You're critical. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. So the point is, anyone who's relating to this, we're all like this, every single one of us. So it's you're not the only one.
No. And of course, in my work with people, I work with everyone with a critical mind because it comes up with everyone, and I haven't seen one person it hasn't come up with. And we work at reducing it. And the reduction of the critical mind creates success. They sustain, they achieve, you move forward, because that reduction is so powerful, because you now become, again, your cheerleader, your friend, and you are feeling good about yourself, you're seeing yourself, and that is become your motivator. People use the critical mind to try and motivate themselves. So misguided. You think that's what I need to achieve my goal. So you're setting out on the journey, beating yourself up. Come on, you can do better. Blah, 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 that kind of thing. And you're not good enough. And they're like, they think that's making them succeed because it's how they drive themselves forward.
Yeah.
But it gets you out the gate, but it's a sustainability.
Yeah.
And sustainability is the biggest question of all in terms of when you want to achieve anything.
Oh yeah, a lot of us can like brute force willpower our way through a certain number of weeks or months of just about anything, but that will just leave you utterly exhausted, and then with nothing left in the tank.
And that goes back to the first podcast about that reward system that we want a reward. So if we're doing all of this and you're still not feeling good, you're just gonna go. You know, it's easier to give up, to not want to keep going, because you're just not feeling. You're not getting what you want from it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that the reward does come from, it's not just the physical achievement and the emotional, the betterment, but you really have to work at getting that critic down so that you can really sustain that good feeling and make it enough, see yourself as enough, and not keep nitpicking, beating yourself down, and measuring yourself against unrealistic standards. Or against someone else, like a 50-year-old cannot compare themselves to a 15-year-old. It's ridiculous, Yet people do it all the time.
Sure.
Right.
Oh yeah. Hey, if you're gonna you can always find something that you don't measure up
to.
That's pretty easy to do.
Absolutely. And so working at the critical mind is a couple things that the Venus Group can do on their own is. Work, which we talked about in the last podcast as well, work at self-appreciation, like really try to find what you like in yourself and not parts of your body that you like. So if you're starting to go, oh, my thighs or my gut or whatever, and you start nitpicking, then you really start finding ways that they're utilities for you. No, but I appreciate this about it because it serves me. I appreciate my arms because they lift things. I appreciate, you start to find not physical things that you appreciate in your body, like liking it, and also emotional things you like in yourself. I appreciate my efforts. I appreciate that I keep going. I appreciate that no matter how many difficulties I have, I get back on and I try again. Like
I'm just listening to you say this.
Mm-hmm.
This is an illustration of how much at least I do, and then everyone kind of exists in the critical mind, I find everything you're saying like awkward to repeat to myself.
Absolutely. And be mindful of the fact that people, that most of us are using that critical mind because we think it's motivational, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I want to make a distinction here, and then you can maybe clean up the way I say it. We're not saying we're not saying just dismiss the idea of trying to change, make a change. What we're saying is it cannot be, for a sustainable change, it cannot be rooted in self-criticism. It has to be rooted in an appreciation of where you are and where you'd like to go.
And I would say it's rooted in self-worth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, better way to say it than what I said. Yeah.
Right. Having goals is what makes life exciting. You know, we're not in a box. We're not stagnating. We're dynamic. Mm-hmm. All of us want to achieve our potential. When we're sitting on our potential, it feels crappy.
Yeah,
you feel like, totally. You know.
And the idea isn't to just loathe who you are now and want to be a better person later. That's not it.
But that's why I say you can appreciate your efforts. Like, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to lose 30 pounds, whatever it is. Or I want to be fitter. I want to be this. Whatever your goal is, great. Have goals. I love having goals in my life. I'm all about goals and achievement. I love it. But it's how we go about doing that. Mm-hmm. My focus is I do it from a place of worth. I love me. I value me. So, hey, I can actualize this part of my potential. I can achieve this within myself. So why get in my own way? Mm-hmm. Because this is part of who I am. So I want to lose 20 pounds. Good on me. I'm going to appreciate my efforts. I'm going to appreciate my tenacity. I'm going to appreciate the fact that my discipline. I'm going to even appreciate the fact that after a messy day, I get up and keep going, you know, that I don't give up. Like, you're appreciating your efforts. So your focus is on your efforts and you're saying that's enough and that's going to get me there. And I'm doing this because I deserve to look good and feel good and be healthy.
Yeah, the point is you're worth it at the beginning and at the end.
At the end. And just because you're here, you're not going to beat yourself up for being where you are. Mm. These set of circumstances in your life, this is where you are. You can't help where you started. You can't help where you are now, so to speak, if you didn't know any better or you didn't have the tools or you didn't have the capability or whatever, the support. This is where you are for these set of reasons. Okay, we get it. Now I'm up on the bandwagon jumping on to achieve a goal, not because I'm not good enough or because I'm deficient or I don't look good enough. Nothing like that. It's because I deserve to be healthy, to look the way that I know I truly am, and in a healthy model, that if I'm feeding myself well and exercising and taking care of myself, this is what I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. And to be this is to be healthy, because it's true. When we're taking care of ourselves, we feel better. When we're just sitting down and slugging away at treating ourselves poorly by, you know, not being active, by feeding ourselves, you know, overloading.
Less than optimal on the diet side.
And we're not feeling as good as we can. We're really on the board taking care of ourselves. So eating well, eating and exercise and physical activity and mental health, you know, I mean, taking, you know, being your own cheerleader.
Yeah, so the whole process has to be rooted in self-worth and deserving.
That's right.
To get to the end where you appreciate the end and not just be critical the whole way through. So even though to everyone externally, two people can arrive at a condition that everyone else is like, wow, you both look great. The person who arrives with the self-critic isn't going to be happy with it. Whereas the person who arrives from a standpoint of what we're just saying, of worth and deserving will be, they'll feel as good as they look.
Yeah. Woo, I'm here. I'm good enough. And I'm there. But I think the person who arrives there is doing that along the way. I believe that they would have been.
Well, I guess let me qualify that. The person who arrives there and can maintain it.
Yes, and can maintain it. They've been working on liking themselves, appreciating themselves, and saying, I'm good enough, and really validating their achievements all the way versus knocking themselves down to get there. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. Or, you know, and when I get there, I'm going to be, I have to be this perfect thing to be acceptable, to be okay, to be lovable, to be desirable, that kind of thing. You know, when we're rooted in self-worth, when we're rooted in a cliche as this may sound, self-love, but it is fundamental to our self-worth and our well-being, then the lens through which we achieve our goal and move forward in our goal is very, very different than when we're beating ourselves up and think we're not good enough, and that's why we're doing it.
And that is all like neck up stuff. So it's not. Mm-hmm. When I say neck up, I mean the body, the physical part, the way the body looks, the eating and the exercising. I call that neck down. So that's all like mechanistic. Go to the gym. How you diet, like the foods you're eating. Yeah. But neck up stuff, I'm talking in the head. It's the mental stuff. It's the emotional stuff. That's what makes the arriving there different.
And the journey different as well.
The whole thing. The whole thing's different. Yeah.
Because you're functioning from the part of you deserve this. This is what you deserve. And that just because you're here over here, maybe whatever weight you are, that is not your ideal in that moment. But nobody's perfect. We all are going to be moments where I want to work on this in my life. If I have an insecurity, for instance, I want to work on an insecurity. I'm not going to beat myself up because I'm insecure in that moment. I'm going to say, okay, I'm insecure because maybe I never got enough validation, and now I deserve to feel good about myself, so I'm going to work on this. It's the same thing with the body. I'm 20 pounds because maybe, or 30 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever it is. I'm here because of these specific reasons. Maybe I didn't understand a healthy diet. Maybe I didn't, incorporate activity. Maybe I have used food as a crutch. Like, these are the reasons that I'm here. And okay, fine. That's the reasons. I understand it. Now I can, as I look at these things, I can work through them and get on the bandwagon and achieve my goal, because I deserve to have this. Not, I'm not good enough because I'm 30 pounds or whatever, and I'm not the ideal fitness I want to be. That doesn't mean anything. That you're there because of these set of circumstances. Let's just forgive yourself, forgive the circumstances, have compassion for why you're there, and say, I deserve this, and therefore I'm worth this. Not because I'm not good enough where I am. Mm-hmm. It's because I have the right to this. And the confidence to know that you can achieve it. And you have, being in your program, you have the tools, you have the skills, you have the support groups, and we're all, and you have this to help you gain that. So it's really about your knowing your worth. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really have much to add. I think we can leave it right there then. Well, you summarized that pretty good.
Great. Right,
so, okay. So, but there's obviously more issues to deal with in the next podcast. So
absolutely.
I think that's a good place to leave with this one. So for Nicola Bird, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.